From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Conversion therapy, or reparative therapy, is something that advocates say can change your sexual orientation from homosexual to heterosexual. The American Psychiatric Association has condemned it, saying ethical practitioners should not try to change sexual orientation. How common is it here in Washington State? Well, yesterday, Conversation producer Cameron Drews spoke with Dr. Doug Haldeman, a Seattle psychiatrist who deals with patients who've been through this kind of therapy.
I certainly can say that it was a little more out in the open because there were more mental health practitioners, particularly master's level people, who espoused it. But it's more underground now. It's less obvious, I think, just because there has been so much negative publicity about it, as well as the changes in public opinion and culture about homosexuality in general.
Well, there's a new bill in the Washington House that would establish a panel to investigate the effects of sexual orientation conversion therapy for minors here in Washington State. It's sponsored by State Representative Marco Lias, a Democrat from Washington's 21st Congressional Legislative District. That includes Edmonds, Mukilteo, parts of Linwood, and Mount Lake Terrace. Currently, a California law that would ban this therapy for minors is in the appeals process. Representative Lias, thanks for joining us.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having this conversation.
Do you have any firsthand experience with conversion therapy? Have you been through it? Do you know anyone who has?
I don't. This issue really comes from my broad concern on issues of bullying and harassment in our schools and trying to take action to make sure we're protecting kids, particularly our gay and lesbian young people as they come to grips with their identity and struggle with, some difficult questions about who they are. And the more you get into these issues, you realize that a lot of these issues are interrelated, interconnected, and the sexual orientation change efforts that are out there play a part in, increasing the marginalization and the harmful effects on young people that are trying to make this difficult transition.
Why do you want to set up a legislative task force to look into how minors are being dealt with?
Well, I think we need to answer some basic questions and survey the research that exists. So we know that the American Psychiatric Association has done some great work on this. Other folks, like Doug Haldeman in our neck of the woods, are experts on this field. But I think it's time that that state policymakers and regulators take a look at this in a comprehensive way and then try and determine if there are some things we can do to create safeguards for young people and potentially look at a path like California has where we really try and restrict the use of these therapies that can be very harmful and dangerous for kids from being used at all.
As you know, there are people who say these are private issues. They think that it's inappropriate for the state legislature to be involved in what they see as religious issues or parenting issues. What's your response to that?
I think the goal of all of our policies at the state level is really to make sure we're protecting children and creating a safe environment for children in Washington to grow up and thrive. And the vast body of evidence on sexual orientation change efforts suggests that they are damaging to children, that they lead to increases in mental health challenges, they lead to marginalization, potentially to self-harm and to depression and suicide even among young people because they reinforce broader negative messages in society for our gay and lesbian young people. So I think when there are therapies that there's evidence that out there that suggests that they could lead to real harm and negative consequences, I think there's a role for the state to be involved in making sure that we're protecting kids. If folks want to engage in discussions around sexual orientation in a religious context, there should be a way to do that that doesn't marginalize or damage the mental health and well-being of our kids.
What kind of support do you have for this bill? You've got a deadline coming up soon, isn't there, to get measures out of committee if they're going to move forward?
This bill has gone to one of our budget committees, so they have a little bit more time to take a look at it. We're hoping for a hearing here in the next few days and to get the issues aired out there, but really trying to fashion the best way to study the issue and come up with recommendations. I felt like as one lawmaker, I didn't have the answers on exactly what approach we should take. So it made sense to really convene this panel of 15 experts, including a practitioner of these therapies, to make sure we're getting a balanced perspective, to really study the issue, look at the evidence that's out there, and try and find, is there a way that these therapies can be allowed, and if not, what are ways that we can protect kids from them?
State Representative Marco Lias, thank you so much for your time.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having this conversation.
He's sponsoring a bill, and what it would do would be to establish a panel to investigate the impact of sexual orientation conversion therapy for minors here in Washington State. If you haven't heard about that, it's that therapy that advocates say can convert someone's sexual orientation. There's a great deal of skepticism about it from many who are in the field of psychiatry, including our next guest, Dr. Jack Drescher, president of the Group for Advancement of Psychiatry. He's a distinguished fellow of the American Psychiatric Association, and he served as a consultant to the APA's Committee on Public Affairs. Dr. Drescher, thanks for your time.
Thanks for inviting me.
So what do the experts in your field say about this conversion therapy?
The expert opinion is that there's no scientific evidence that sexual orientation can be changed by a particular form of therapy. That is the opinion. And the expert concern is that although there aren't great studies on the subject, that some people who try them are harmed by them. So that's the expert opinion.
So there is homosexuality at one time was considered to be a form of illness by mental health professionals. It's been quite a while since that's been the case. Is that in part what leads to these conclusions that experts should not be trying to do this kind of therapy?
Well, yes. In 1973, the American Psychiatric Association removed homosexuality from its list of mental disorders. And so we don't teach in our training programs in psychiatry or psychology or clinical social work about homosexuality being a mental disorder. And although not all of the people who practice these so-called conversion therapies consider homosexuality a disorder, many of them do. And so they're working with very marginal theories about homosexuality.
What do you think about a state task force to look into these treatments? Is that you think that's the appropriate way to take a look at its impact on children?
I don't see any harm in a task force looking into it. I think the thing that has concerned me, for example, with the California law, is that the California law, which was recently passed and which is now being challenged in the courts, took up the position that it covers licensed professionals. The issue is, I think, as I heard Doug Haldeman say earlier, is that the majority of the people who are engaging these practices, who are offering these services, are actually not licensed professionals. So if the task force is going to just look at what's going on among licensed professionals, that's only really a small fraction of the task.
Because there might be a lot of people out there who are doing it without a license to practice.
Right. You have people running these so-called ex-gay ministries. You have people who are calling with no clinical licenses who are referring to themselves as life coaches. This is really the state of the field right now, because we're not training psychiatrists and psychologists to do these treatments. It's really occurring on the fringes.
Dr. Drescher, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Dr. Jack Drescher, we're 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. If you've had some firsthand experience with what's been called straight camp or conversion therapy, advocates call it reparative therapy because they think it's repairing something, give me a call. It's 800-289-5869. What do you think about the state legislature setting up a task force to look into the impact of this therapy on young people? It's write to us at conversation@kuow.org. Ben Towsey spent about 15 years in what's called reparative therapy. Four of those years was spent working with a ministry, a reparative therapy group founded in Seattle back in the 1980s. It has since moved on to Florida. Ben, how'd you get started with this therapy?
Well, I heard about it on the radio. I was having one of those moments where I had kind of lost hope. I'd lost, I was just really in despair, and I heard on the radio about this group. And so I contacted them, and I said, I need help.
You were gay, and this is something you felt at the time you wanted to fix?
So I was both gay and a Christian, and so there was nothing, I could not let this thing stand, quote-unquote, between me and God. Somehow I had to resolve this huge rift that existed between me and God, and the only way to do that was to resolve this gay issue.
Were you pressured into it, or was it something you did voluntarily?
I think it was, it's kind of both, right? Because I wanted to be a Christian, but Christians are very adamant in how they feel about homosexual. Because, when I grew up, a guy named Mike Warnke was really famous. He was a Satanist. You know, he worshipped the devil. He did all this stuff. He was loved by the church. He was accepted by the church. But this gay guy who just simply had a different sexual orientation was vilified, you know, beyond belief. I mean, I grew up in a place where the church said God could accept a Satanist but could not accept a homosexual. And so there was just so much pressure and so much intensity. It wasn't really from my family, but it was from my church. It was from, and it wasn't on purpose. I don't think any of them said, hey, you've got to change, or, well, some of them did, but you know what I mean? It was just this covert, if you will, pressure that gets placed on you to fit their cookie cutter mold.
Well, did you get converted from gay to straight through this therapy?
No, I tried. I mean, I really did. I took so many therapies. I sought counseling. And at one point, insurance actually covered, you know, some actual real therapy with a licensed therapist. But then when the insurance ran out, then, of course, you know, I could not continue to take the therapy anymore. And I still remember the therapist going, well, you know, when you get the money, I'll be here. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, this is awful. It's like this thing is standing between me and God, and all this guy cares about is money.
Well, is this therapist still offering conversion therapy? We heard earlier that a lot of this has been kind of driven underground because of the condemnation from many people in psychiatry and psychology.
Yeah, I can't honestly say. This was actually probably about 10 years ago. So he may have either stopped or he may be underground as well.
You know, one of what Representative Leas's fears is, as he said, that this treatment is harmful. It didn't work for you. Did you feel as though it harmed you?
No, it is very harmful. I mean, the best way I can describe this is like it's a part of you, and the part of you is like a beach ball, right? And you, in order to placate the religious right or the Christians or whoever's doing this, you have to hold that beach ball underwater, but that beach ball is constantly seeking to rise above the water. And the only way to succeed, literally, is to destroy that beach ball. You have to become somebody else. You have to become what they want you to be. You are not allowed to just express yourself as you truly want to express yourself, you know. And it's like, you know, I got to watch a lot of my friends who would fall in love with girls, and they'd, you know, and they'd have these flirtatious things and they'd have fun, and I never got to do that. I never got to participate. I never got to be that person because I was not allowed to feel love, to feel compassion, to feel any of those things, because in theory my love was wrong or sinful, and in some cases evil.
Well, there's a great body of evidence that sexual orientation is not a learned behavior. It's something that you're born with, and it seems as though the whole premise of reparative therapy is that it's not. It's something that can be changed.
Well, and like I was taught in reparative therapy that the reason I was gay was because of a breakdown between me and my father, or a lesbian between, you know, the girl and her mother. So it's a same-sex breakdown is what they taught us in reparative therapy. But the reality is, I mean, as I look back, you know, did my dad start pulling away because he noticed I was different, or, you know, did I start pulling away because I was different? I mean, there's really no way to know that, you know. And so that, you know, my dad and I may not have had a great relationship, and we didn't, but I don't think that that's what caused it. I think that there was always within me this unique calling, drawing, if you will.
Yeah.
I was a very sensitive kid. My mom says that I, you know, would sit in a rocking chair when I was very young and listen to Beethoven for hours, you know, and just rock. That was kind of, you know, and that kind of freaked my dad out, you know. So they say that it was a breakdown between father and son, but I'm wondering if maybe the father didn't start pulling away because of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, Ben, thanks a lot for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Ben Towsey spent about 15 years in conversion therapy, or reparative therapy, as it's called by advocates. We're at 206-543-5869 if you've had some experience with this. That's 206-543-KUOW. Jeremy Schwab first experienced this therapy when he was 15 years old. He later sought therapy in his 30s. He met with a therapist over Skype. Jeremy, did this therapy work for you? Did you get the desired results?
Yeah, actually, for me, I would say it's... Well, let me just start by explaining that I first went to a reparative therapist when I was 15 as well. My parents were very strongly religious, and I actually had a very positive experience with the reparative therapist back then, because he was the one that that calmed my parents down and explained that it wasn't a choice, that the most important thing was to focus on my self-esteem and self-acceptance as a person, not to focus on the orientation specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And I can definitely relate to the last guest, and I had some similar experiences myself in the past. When I was 15, I only had a few sessions with that therapist, and then wasn't as focused on that, so I went on to, I didn't participate, and I lived as a gay man for about 12 years.
Is it your experience, Jeremy, that sexual orientation is a learned behavior or something that comes to us because of our environment rather than something we are born with?
I'm not really sure. I think it could be a combination of things. I really don't think that it's entirely genetic. I think that there could be some factors that contribute to it. But in my case, when I did decide to seek reparative therapy when I was 31, I saw a significant decrease in my same-sex attraction. It's not a complete cure. I didn't zap it and go away, but I definitely saw it diminish significantly as I really started accepting myself, started letting go of shame, just started building a lot of really healthy relationships with other men, with my father, and every aspect of my life improved because of reparative therapy. And I've also participated in some of the ministry groups that were referred to. Those don't usually actually do reparative therapy or change therapy themselves. They're usually support groups and counseling, but they're not attempting to change one's sexual orientation. At least that's not been my experience, and I've been in contact with all of them probably in the last couple of years. But
Jeremy, what do you think about Representative Lias's idea of having a task force set up to take a look at the impact of conversion reparative therapy on young people? Do you think that's a good idea?
Well, I guess it depends on who's on the task force and what the goal is, really. I think the thing is, the impact of, he mentioned the negative impacts of shame and bullying, and I totally agree with him on that, but I don't think that that's caused by reparative therapy. I think reparative therapy is probably the best option for helping heal those wounds. And the reason I say that is because a person from a strong religious background is not going to trust a gay affirmative therapist or someone who says that their only choice is to claim a gay identity and live an active gay life. And so the only way they would get help at all would be with a licensed therapist who supported their values and wanted to help them live according to their values, whether that meant reducing their same-sex attraction or learning to live a chaste life or whatever their goals were.
Hey, Jeremy, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking about what's called reparative therapy or conversion therapy. You've probably heard of it. The idea is that you can take someone who's a homosexual and through this therapy make them into a heterosexual. It's kind of widely been condemned by psychiatrists and psychologists who say that you can't do it, and it's not a good idea anyway. Matthew Shurka posted a YouTube video last October as part of Dan Savage's It Gets Better campaign. It was about his experience in what's called reparative therapy when he was age 16. Matthew, tell me a little bit about why you got into the reparative therapy, and did it work?
Hi. Thank you. Well, I was 16 years old. I don't come from a religious background. I am Jewish, but we are not a practicing family, and it was more cultural than anything else, and my father being a well-to-do businessman, it was just something he wasn't capable of having in his home, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
My experience started with a licensed therapist who was also a university professor who was doing that kind of work on the side, and it took place in California. I had met the therapist out in California, but it continued over the phone. I reside in New York City. So, I mean, the experience was, I knew who I was, I knew what I wanted, but I, with my father and through a therapist, I was afraid that I wouldn't live the life I want to live if I ended up coming out of the closet. And, some of the practices destroyed my family and friends and, really who I was, dealing with depression and suicide and all sorts.
Some of the practices of the therapy?
Yes. So, for instance, one of the very first things I had to do was stop talking to women at all costs. to avoid the fear of becoming effeminate. Now, that didn't just mean girls at school, but that included my mother and my sisters. And I don't come from a broken home, and I live with my mother and my sisters and my father, and I went to school every day with my mother making me breakfast and none of us talking, and that lasted for about 2 years.
You know, there's something kind of counterintuitive about that. If you want to stop being a homosexual, stay away from women? I mean, isn't that the basis of heterosexuality? Did you ever think about that?
That's also how I met my first boyfriend.
By staying away from women.
The point is to have genuine male bonding. And the idea is to make women, the opposite sex, more of a mystery.
I see.
Because the reason, according to their theory, reparative therapist theory, is that men are feel the opposite sex to you, and they're a mystery.
Yeah.
So let's get rid of that and really make you feel like one of the guys.
That's the theory, but it didn't work out that way for you. What do you think about this state representative's idea of a legislative task force to look at the impact of conversion therapy, reparative therapy, on young people?
I think it's a good idea. I mean, of course, it matters who's on the task force, and I think it's great that, the state is interested in, looking into the issue, and I do agree with Mr. Drescher about being licensed therapists and non-licensed therapists. Majority of teenagers who are doing this are pressured by their parents, their religion, and, you're so underdeveloped at that age, it's hard to say what's healthy or not for them. I think it's important that, self-esteem issues and any other adolescents deals with is important, and that can help them in their life. But having the goal of changing their sexual orientation, I think, is regardless of that.
Hey, Matthew, thanks a lot for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Matthew Shurka, you can see his YouTube video at It Gets Better, Dan Savage's campaign. So we'll see what happens with Marco Elias's proposal to have this task force set up. It's got to get out of committee. It's got to get to a full vote of the legislature. And we'll keep tabs on it and tell you what happens. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.